Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 to 27. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 to 27. Now these verses are going to speak about four parts of your body to which you need to pay very special attention. Read the passage and see if you can discern which four parts of the body the text addresses. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. What are you reading about here? Well, there are four parts of your body to which you have to pay special attention. And they're not your face, your hair, your fingernails, and your toenails. Lots of attention is paid to those four parts of your body, but those aren't the four parts that Solomon tells you you really need to be careful with. They are your heart, your mouth, your eyes, and your feet. Your heart, your mouth, your eyes, and your feet. What does he say about the heart? He says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So today, there's a lot of talk about heart disease. And there's all kinds of talk about heart health. And so people are watching their diets in some cases more carefully, taking certain kinds of medication to lower cholesterol and those kind of things. Those all have a place, but that's not what this is about. He's not talking in the terms of the natural heart and what you can do to take care of it, although things need to be done. He's talking about a heart that needs to be kept with all diligence because it is the seat of your affections. When Jesus Christ was asked about the first and great commandment, he said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. With all your heart. You see, the heart is the seat of the affections, and the very first and major commandment, and the one that holds them all, in addition to love thy neighbors thyself, is the one where you've got to love God. And you have to keep that heart in love with the Lord God. People that don't love God love themselves or love something else. And as a result, they're not keeping their heart with all diligence. And their life, because it comes from the heart, is going to be reduced or nullify it altogether. You say, in what respect? Well, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You may be living, you may be breathing air, but without Christ, without a love for God, there's nothing there. You've got to love Jesus. You got to love him. Why? He loved you. He demonstrated his love for you in that he said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Called you a friend while you were yet an enemy. You got to love him for that. We love him because he first loved us. You got to love his words. When a person says they love God, or when a person says they love Jesus and they don't love his words, then they really don't love God and Jesus. You'll know whether a man loves the Lord Jesus Christ by what he does with the words of God. If he's constantly correcting these words, constantly telling you that these words are translated incorrectly, if he's holding his tradition above the Bible, if he's holding his book, whatever that may be, a Watchtower Society or a Book of Mormon or a book of whatever it may be, above the Bible, then he doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ like he thinks he does. He believes that he does, but you got to remember, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And with a heart that will deceive you like that, you'll think that you're loving Jesus Christ by conducting all of your religious ritual, but unless you love his words, you don't really love him. You say, is there scripture on that? Absolutely. I'm turning to it right now. I want to read it for you so you can hear it for yourself. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. You see, I told you. That's John 14, 23. You got to love his words. You got to love your children. Somehow or another, our society says you got to go to work, and I know you got to pay your bills. And the husband works and the wife works, and where are the children? There's nothing wrong, specifically, with both of you holding a job and paying your bills the way things are designed today. That's the way it's turned out. It is better, and it is scriptural, for a woman to keep the house. That's in Titus. But I understand, practically speaking, the necessity for both to work. Well, that doesn't give you an excuse not to love your children. You've got to take care of them. You can't expect the coach and you can't expect the teacher to love them the same way they need to be loved by you. They can train them and they can teach them, but they cannot love them the same way that you do. They will not. They have their own children. You've got to love your parents. You've got to. You say, well, they're pretty unlovable. I understand that. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long on the earth. You got to love your parents. There are children today who have found some strange excuse for not loving mom and dad. That's the wrong thing. You've got to love the brethren. When a man says that he loves God, but he doesn't love the brethren, he doesn't really love God the way that he thinks he does. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. That's 1 John 5:1. If you say you love God, but you don't love the brethren, you don't love God the way you think you do. I know you feel some affection for him, and that's great. But if you want to love him the way that he wants to be loved, then you need to love the ones he's saving. Now, lust attempts to enter in and steal your affection for these, God and Jesus and the words, your children, your parents, and the brethren. Lust attempts to enter in and steal your affection for these things so that you love pleasures more than love God. You'll end up loving sports. I'm telling you, there are Christians today that can name more sports figures and more results in sports than they can name five verses in the Bible. They'll convince you to love money, and the love of money is the root of all evil. They'll convince you to love the world. And Jesus said, love not, James said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You'll end up loving attention and hating the things of God. Let me tell you something. If you have two masters in that heart, you'll love the one and hate the other. You've got to watch out for the deceitful heart that makes you think you love something you don't really love. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Listen, the heart is also the place where the thoughts originate. The Bible speaks in Genesis 8:21 about the imaginations of the heart. So keep your thoughts clean if you're going to keep your heart. You will keep your heart if you keep your heart on God, Jesus, God's words, your children, your parents, and the brethren. But that's not all you got to keep. You got to keep the mouth too. You got to keep the mouth too. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 24 says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. A froward mouth is a crooked mouth. And perverse lips, they speak perversion. In James chapter 3, we read about the things that the tongue can do. And let me tell you something. The tongue that's inside of that mouth can cause great problems. And you got to be aware of that. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 3, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about the whole body. But also the ships, which though they be great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, of things in the sea, he is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So, James is not very complimentary about your mouth, about your tongue. You see, with your mouth you can kill. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21 says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Do you know that Hitler, to my knowledge, never went into a concentration camp and killed a Jew, but he ordered their death and extermination to the tune of millions? Your mouth can spread gossip. I think the Bible says, where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth, and where there is no fire, where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. In other words, when you hear something that doesn't need to be repeated, by not repeating it, you can stop it. But if you choose to repeat it, you keep the thing going, so that all of a sudden, what you have done is you have perpetuated something that is now going to be changed by somebody else other than you, and by the time it gets back around to you, it will be indiscernible and magnified and exaggerated, and you'll be the cause of it because you kept the fire going. There are times and things in my life that have happened, there are things that have happened in your life that should never be repeated. There are things and circumstances that happened in my life that I didn't discuss with other people. Somebody said, why not? Because I know human nature. They feast on trash in the garbage can. And by the time that thing gets around, it is so distorted, it isn't even close to the truth. A woman was spreading bad rumors about her preacher. And then she became very convicted about what she had done and went and apologized to him and asked for his forgiveness. And he said, that's fine, and I would like you to do a work meet for repentance. She said, sure, whatever. And he said, go buy a black chicken and go up on that three-story building. It was just a little small town. And throw those feathers into the wind and let them spread. So she got this dead chicken, and she took those black feathers and threw them off that building. They went every kind of which way. And she came back, and she said, I've done what you told me to do. Now what would you like me to do? And he said, I want you to go and pick them all up. She said, well, that would be impossible. And he said, I just wanted you to see that it will also be impossible for you, now that you've asked for my forgiveness, to go back and recover every word that you've spread against me. It's out there. Now it's going to do whatever. It's going to blow wherever the wind blows. You got to watch that mouth. There are churches that have split. There are families that have divided. There are people that have been ruined and destroyed by the mouth. You've got to get it under control. You've got to keep it shut. If the old saying to the children was right, if you can't think of anything good to say, don't say anything at all. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, you've got to be careful not to devour one another when you're backbiting. You know what you can do with that mouth instead of all this wickedness, all this frowardness, all this perversion? You can praise God with your mouth. You can lead souls to Jesus Christ with your mouth. You can pray with your mouth. You can tell the truth with your mouth. You can preach with your mouth. You don't have to use the time with your mouth to spread vicious gossip, backbiting, bitterness, ugliness, maliciousness. Your mouth can be used by the Holy Spirit to tell another sinner how to find the same Savior that you have, and it ought to be used for that. Your mouth can praise God and thank God and pray to God for the things that you need, and God will be pleased with that. You can preach. I didn't think I could. Here I am preaching. That's something the Holy Spirit has put in. You can preach. You can use that mouth. I've got friends of mine that go into jails and detention centers and nursing homes. They don't pastor churches, but they use their mouth to preach, and souls get saved. You ought to do that. Keep it. Watch it. Make sure that what you say is pleasing to God. That's not all. You've got to watch the eyes. You've got to watch your eyes. Let thine eyes, Proverbs 4:25 says, let thine eyes look right on. People say this old King James Bible is antiquated. It seemed to me it wasn't too long ago we were using that phrase. Right on, brother. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. That is a great picture, because right there he says, let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. He's talking about keeping your eyes single. Single. In Matthew chapter 6, God tells you the importance of your eye. It's the light of your body. That's why iridology is so important. Iridologists can examine your eye and tell you all about injuries you've had and surgeries you've had and stresses you're under, and can prescribe things to improve your health. It's a great way to involve yourself in preventative medicine, because you'll get the things that you need before your body completely breaks down. But the light of the body, according to Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be filled or full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now a single eye, the light of the body is the eye, if therefore thine eye be single. A single eye will be right on Jesus Christ. We sing that song, it's a beautiful song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Right? That is where you can keep a single eye, right on the Lord. You say, well, I can't see him. Yeah, but you know, when you're walking down the street and there's all kinds of sights around you, a single eye upon the Lord Jesus Christ will avoid looking at things that would cause the mind and the imagination and the heart to be drawn away from Jesus. You say, how else can I keep my eye single? Read the words of God. It was a great thing that happened to me years and years ago when I finally realized that I needed to read the Bible every day. And in learning that, fortunately, I was directed immediately to a King James Bible. Now, I didn't have any Bible training per se, not when I first started reading the Bible. But there's something beyond the majesty and poetry of this book. There's life in this book. And as I read, I began to live. The words of God were entering in through my eyes. The light of the body is the eye. And I had a body that was now filling with light. A single eye with eyes in the words of God. You know, you need to use your eyes to be vigilant. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil as a roaring lion goeth about seeking whom he may devour. You got to keep your eyes open. The Bible says we're not ignorant of the devices of the devil. You got to keep your eyes open and know that he operates and he is a devourer, and you've got to be wise and vigilant and awake and checking things out and be aware that he can drop you in a moment. Preachers get dropped by condemnation in the snare of the devil. Your eyes can be saturated with the tears for the lost. The fellow that led me to the Lord originally, the guy that first told me the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was a guy named Rocky Young. I told you about him the other day. And one characteristic about Rocky that I will never forget, Rocky's tears for the lost. On Wednesdays at the school that I attended in Chattanooga, Tennessee, I went to the Macaulay School in Chattanooga, Tennessee, in high school, Rocky decided that it would be a good idea for us to skip lunch on Wednesday and go up to his office, which was right in the middle of the school building. It used to be the entrance foyer to the building. In other words, all the steps led right up to Rocky's office. They closed that entrance, and you could only get into the building on either side. So right there in the big middle, right in the center of the campus, was Rocky's office. And lead up those stairs like that, you go into his office, and there was a sofa in there and a couple of chairs. And about three or four of us started praying with him on Wednesdays and skipping lunch. And let me tell you what happened. Every time we went in there to pray, old Rocky would begin to pour out his heart before God and ask God for the souls of young men in that school. Now, I think I was probably in my first semester of my junior year when we started praying in there. And by the time I graduated as a senior, we were still praying in there. And I'm telling you, there were so many students in that office that it overflowed into the hall of the school building and overflowed onto the steps of that entrance, the former entrance to that building. There were, I don't know how many dozens of young men up there praying. And for those two straight years, Rocky's eyes were saturated for the lost. You can use your eyes for that. That'll keep your eyes looking right on. Or if you want to be like the rest of the men in this world, you can let your eyes wander. If you've ever noticed when you're driving down the road is littered on either side with billboards. You know what's on those billboards? Pictures. You know what those pictures are typically pictures of? Not always. I mean, there's a smattering. There's all kind of things up there. But typically, if they're going to use a woman to help sell the ad, then she's going to be in something showing her midriff, something showing the size of her chest, and her hair is going to be, and her eyelashes are going to be in such. You know how the thing goes. That thing is to get your eyes to wander to look over there. You'll get on your internet, check your homepage as you're moving into whatever site you normally go to, and there'll be some flickering ad over there advertising something you oughtn't to be looking at. You got to be careful with just people passing by if your eyes are conditioned to looking at the opposite sex. We were witnessing to a fella. I've repeated this illustration numerous times, but I can't get it out of my mind because it's so illustrative of what goes on these days. We were just telling him about his need of Jesus Christ. He didn't think he needed Jesus Christ. We mentioned to him that adultery was a sin. He didn't think he'd ever committed that. And the whole time he was undressing a woman that was standing behind us with his eyes. So the preacher that was with me said, if a man looks upon a woman and lust after her in his and lust after her, he has committed adultery with her already in his heart. He said, I don't believe that. Well, that was right out of the scripture. David said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. So, you got to be careful, man. There are hardly any movies today that you can watch, if that's true. If you're not going to set any wicked thing before your eyes, there are very few movies you can watch. There's very little TV you can watch. There are very few magazines you can read from cover to cover. And you got to be careful when you go to the beach. We used to go street preaching, and we took a guy down there with us whenever we had to go to the beach. I didn't go down there but one time, but they took him down there, and when they did, this guy had 2900 vision. He'd pop his glasses off and start preaching. He couldn't see anything that was out there on the beach. So his heart wasn't drawn after his eyes. All right, now what has the Bible said so far? There are four parts of the body you got to really keep. You got to guard your heart because it's the seat of your affections. Your mouth, because with it you can do a great deal of damage. Your eyes, because they will cause you to draw away from the Lord God. And you got to watch your feet. In verses 26 and 27 of Proverbs chapter 4, he said, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And you got to watch your feet, because these are the little puppies that take you places you don't need to go. Now, I spent the whole broadcast yesterday talking about the two paths of life, the path of the just and the path of the wicked, and described in great detail why you need to stay on the right path. All right, you're going to get in the right path? You're going to do the right thing? Then let me tell you what you need to do. You need to get in church. There's a good place for you to go. You say, yeah, but I'm awful busy on Wednesday night. Go to church. You got to ponder the path of your feet. Get in there. Yeah, but I'm tied up on Sunday night. Go to church. Go to a good church, a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And when you're not in church, go to your own home at night. You don't have any business in the bars. None whatsoever. Had a fella call me the other day, marriage in trouble, but he likes to stop by occasionally with the boys and drink a beer or two. Don't go there. That's what ruins your house. Go in the direction that God leads. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and He'll lead you. So follow His direction. It's amazing how many of the circumstances in life line up when you're going in the direction that God leads. Stay out of the wrong places. I know a preacher whose wife left town before he did for vacation, and he ended up in a bar one night and got caught on film by someone that recognized him. You know, that thing could have destroyed his ministry. Stupid mistake. Why? Didn't ponder the path of his feet. Didn't have any business going there. Just one of those stupid decisions. And you got to watch that stuff. You've got to stay out of places where it even looks wrong for you to be there. Because the Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. all appearance of evil. The old timers used to say, therefore, don't tie your shoes in your neighbor's watermelon patch. Because when you bend over to tie your shoe, it's going to look like you're getting ready to steal one of his watermelons. So you got to watch out where your feet take you. You cannot go. People say, well, I've had trouble with this and that in my life. Then don't go back to those places where you had that kind of trouble. Stay out of those places. Don't go to the places where you're going to find yourself tempted to do things that will draw your heart and your eyes away from the Lord Jesus Christ and put you in a compromising circumstance where you're going to end up doing something that you know you shouldn't do. Just do it. Keep your heart with all diligence. Put away from thee a froward mouth. Let thine eyes look right on. Ponder the path of thy feet. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. You see how wise Solomon is with these things? You see that he understood the four parts of your body that were absolutely essential to protect, because these are the ones that get you in more trouble than any other part. You say, well, yeah, but you didn't say anything about it. I know I didn't say anything about the private parts, but let me tell you something. You keep these parts, you won't have to worry about the other parts. Seriously. When a young woman's heart gets drawn away beyond proper affection for a young man, she's going to find herself in bed with him. Why? She didn't keep her heart. She didn't keep her feet. She didn't keep her mouth. She didn't keep her eyes, you see. And then all of a sudden she's in trouble and she goes, I just don't know how this happened. Because she didn't keep the four most important parts of her body. Now you got to do that. And while we get ready to close here, I think looking at this thing with this eyes here, let me tell you something. Our kids and even young adults these days are dressing too provocatively and therefore turning the eyes of people that should not be turned because they're not dressing with enough material to cover themselves properly. And to keep that in mind when you think about the eyes.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.